From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. The number of kids being arrested in the state of Florida is on a downward trend, which is good news in most places, but not in Orange County, and particularly not if you're black. According to juvenile justice records, the county leads the state, and black kids make up 64% of the arrests under 18 years of age. Reporter Renato Sago spent 4 months trying to find out why. Her reporting tells the story of teenage boys navigating the juvenile justice system and follows them back to where they grew up, in neighborhoods where crime is a way of life. We'll talk with Renata Sago about her series of reports. Plus, an ongoing economic recovery, gains in healthcare and retail jobs, and continued low wages. Those are the findings from last year's study of Southwest Florida's workforce. We'll break down the numbers with the economists behind the study and find out what it means for workers and employers in our region. First, the news.
Author Stephanie Powell Watts is seeing The Great Gatsby with new eyes.
I'm seeing all of these black characters, never thought about them before. I'm seeing the women and the tiny, tiny roles that they have in the book, and I want them to speak. I want to hear what they have to say.
I'm Audie Cornish. Her book, No One Is Coming to Save Us, this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today at 4 on WGCU, NPR for Southwest Florida.
Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Southwest Florida has more than 500,000 employed workers, part of the more than 9.5 million statewide, according to the Department of Economic Opportunity. But wages in our area continue to lag. The average take-home pay across Hendry, Glades, Collier, Lee, and Charlotte counties is just over $40,000 a year, compared to the state average of more than $45,000 a year, or the national average, which sees workers take home more than $52,000 annually. But high-paying jobs are being filled in our region, in healthcare, retail, and construction. Still, there's a gap between job openings and workers who can fill them. And along with that pay gap, it's part of the challenges that is facing both workers and employers in Southwest Florida. Joining us now to break down the latest report on the jobs in our area is Dr. Christopher Wesley, an economics professor at Florida Gulf Coast University and the director of the Regional Economic Research Institute at FGCU. Welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Hey there, good to be here.
Also joining us today is Tessa Lesage from the Southwest Florida Community Foundation. She's also a member of the Future Makers Coalition, which is focused on achieving broader workforce development goals for Southwest Florida. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Julie. It's a pleasure to be here.
We are talking about jobs in Southwest Florida and what the latest annual report for the workforce in our region tells us. Call in to share your thoughts on finding work or switching jobs in our area at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we are at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So Dr. Christopher Wesley with FGCU, in this report, we see lower than average pay alongside figures that point to job growth. So what's the big takeaway from this report? Is our workforce in good shape?
The big takeaway is that this is kind of what you expect when you think about economic theory, because when you're a growing economy, we're attracting so many workers down here, and there's also, I mean, many of these jobs don't have a lot of entry barriers associated with them. When that's the case and that's our industry, we're going to start to see a lot of these industries then have a depression on wages because so many workers are coming into them. So the wages where you see less of a depression on wages are often those that have more barriers to entry. It's harder to get into those professions relative to these industries that we're talking about here.
So the jobs that are increasing, the more jobs that we are getting, are the ones that don't require a college degree necessarily, don't require different kind of certifications. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
And so those generally hold a lower...
It's been that way for a long time in Southwest Florida. And even in the study that we just did, the industries... where most of the needs for jobs, many of them do not require higher education, and this is because of the area where we live. The things that make our economy special and different happen to be those areas for us: there's retirement and tourism, and then the industries that flow from that. Not all of them, but many of them are populated with entry level jobs.
Yeah, service industry stuff.
Yeah, service industry stuff. Right.
Yeah. So, in broad terms, which industry and jobs are in high demand and which are seeing falling demand?
Well, I actually have a top 10 list.
Oh, okay.
And,
everybody loves lists.
Well, yeah. I wish it'd be as fun as the David Letterman list.
But yeah.
We're looking at, I mean, in terms of like in the future, over the next 6 or 7 years, for Southwest Florida, the industries that are expected to have the most demand are, number one is going to be retail sales, then restaurant work, waiters and waitresses, cashiers after that. That's one, two, three. Number four, landscape and groundkeeping workers. So you can see those were the biggest what we call supply gaps are moving forward. I'll go through the others later.
Those are all generally kind of low wage though.
I was going to say, yeah, but those also are industries that grow as our region grows with more retirees and tourists. And those and so that's what underscores why it is so important to support efforts that make our economy more diversified. So that, I mean, those industries are always going to affect our area, but a more diversified economy would balance it out somewhat more.
Yeah.
And at the where I work at the RERI at FGCU, we've actually created something called the Workforce Diversification Project, which is an effort to try to look at this more deeply. We have a website dedicated to studying that for the region. We actually collect data on workforce diversity by MSA throughout the state of Florida. We also do every workforce region in the state of Florida, and we also do every state in the United States. And you can see how our region, in terms of diversity, ranks with other MSAs in the state, or how the state relates or ranks with the country as a whole.
And so where do we rank, or are we not so good on diversity?
Well, we're actually not that bad. We're kind of in the middle.
That's surprising. I would have thought we'd have been at the bottom.
Well, interesting is it fluctuates though. So we actually become a lot more diverse in the summertime months. In fact,
yeah, because there's nobody here.
Well, the Naples MSA became the number one for the last two quarters has been the number one ranked MSA in the state in terms of diversity. But that's only because it shows how much that particular economy depends on these types of seasonal workers.
Mm-hmm.
And when those jobs go away, suddenly we become very diverse.
Yeah. So Teresa Lesage with Future Makers Coalition, can you tell me a little bit about what Future Makers does and how you're involved in this kind of an annual workforce report?
Sure. So the Future Makers Coalition is a coalition of partners that run the gamut from cradle to career in efforts to try to transform the workforce in Southwest Florida. So these are existing stakeholders in the system in the five-county region that are all doing their part to try to increase the number of folks in our workforce that have some sort of post-secondary credential, a degree, a certificate, or other credential that helps them fill in-demand jobs, diversify the workforce, and hopefully lead to a more diverse and sustainable economy. The coalition is not an organization. It's literally trying an effort in partnership across all of these stakeholders to work together to try to improve the system so that we can all achieve that shared goal of a more skilled and diverse workforce.
Yeah, but I mean, is the area demanding that kind of a skilled workforce at this point? If most of the jobs that we have and the increase in jobs tends to be for positions that don't require that.
Well, I always say that reflects, you know, I love living down here and it's a great place to have a career, but it's almost like the things that make it special can be a blessing and a curse with respect to the workforce because, I mean, that's where the demand is going to be and that's where the capital is going to flow towards that more than others as opposed to, say, an Arthrex-ish type of industry where workers' marginal contribution is higher as an individual basis, which means that their wages are higher,
mm-hmm.
which makes it easier to live down here. That's another factor is as these demand for these jobs increase, I mean, the cost of living isn't getting any better.
Oh, the affordable housing is non-existent almost.
Oh, yeah.
And that makes it hard when your average wage is less than all of the country and the rest of the state.
Right. And so where are they going? I mean, and that's actually not a new phenomenon in U.S. history. I mean, in the first half of the 20th century, many firms just took it for granted that they had to provide housing for workers because their wages were not high enough for them to cover that on their own. But over time, as workers became more productive, firms didn't offer that benefit as much. But given a lot of things have been happening in the economy with respect to Fed policies' effect on prices, but also the fact that there's just an increase there's a historic increase in demand for living in Southwest Florida as these baby boomers retire, that's also causing prices to go up over time. And that's another factor too. And what it means then is that we're seeing more companies actually talking about going back to the old model, which actually they do that in other parts of the state. They do that in Key West. It's very common in California.
The old model where they provide housing for their employees?
Yeah. And Lee County Public Schools are now talking about buying housing developments and apartments just for their employees because the market wage right now is not high enough for them to live at least near – it's not as attractive enough in order to get workers to come down here.
Yeah, and yeah, when you can't pay enough for them to live decently, then they're not going to want to make the transfer.
Yeah.
We have a caller on the line. This is Jason calling in from Naples. Jason, what would you like to say?
Yeah, I actually manage, I'm a middle manager here in Naples, Florida, and work largely in hospitality-type industries. And, I mean, this is something that I've noticed. Even this season, it seems to be worse than it has been in the last couple of years. We had two full-time open positions with our company, but we literally could not find anybody to fill them. We had the worst time actually trying to find people to fill these positions because we just can't offer a salary that can support a family. I mean, I have people who work for me who work two and three jobs and drive from Bonita to come to work, and it seems a bit ridiculous that we live in a community with so much wealth and so much ability to support it, you know, an economy and a family base, but yet these jobs, we just don't have the resources to provide a living wage. I don't know how we're going to solve this problem. It's really something that's concerning to me.
Yeah, I don't know. And what kind of things does someone like doing a jobs report look at? What kind of, are you able to look at things like housing and other types of
solutions? It's a dirty process. You don't want to know all the details. No, but it's we gather data from any source we can find, and we put it together. A lot of it comes from the Florida Department of Economic Opportunity, but then we repackage it and cater it to what our needs and concerns are down in Southwest Florida to put this report out. And one of the key data points relates to what the caller was talking about is that you've got one of the measures of something called a supply gap, where you have the number of people available to do work and the number of jobs that are actually available. And the gap is negative. It means there's more jobs available than there are people that can do work. And that number actually fluctuates greatly from year to year.
And throughout the year here.
And throughout – and on a seasonal basis too. You're right.
It's a really unique situation. So Tessa Lesage, what kind of education initiatives does the coalition focus on as far as – do you do things in the way of a training or service training or hospitality management type stuff? Or do you urge those kinds of –
We pilot projects to see what works in terms of making an impact on increasing the number of skilled workers in the region. And so, for example, we partner with employers around some of the issues that they're seeing in terms of being able to fill, persistent vacancies and, or some of the skills that they're seeing are lacking, in the existing workforce to try to see if we can provide interventions or take best practices that are going on in one part of the region and scale or replicate them to other parts of the system and see if we can make a dent. So, for example, we have a really successful pilot project that Lee Health actually was the initiator of because of a high number of vacancies for certified nurses, CNAs, and we worked on a project with the Workforce Board and two of the technical colleges here locally to see if we could make a dent in the number of vacancies and get more people to access the CNA training programs, earn their certificate, and then hopefully get employed by Lee Health. And that project has really shown some promising results. And in fact, I'm here with a group of future makers in Washington, D.C. today, and we're talking with national partners about how to scale and replicate that program and how to seek funding to do it in other industries where there's employers that are, you know, in desperate need of people with the skills to fill vacancies, and also in communities where we can go in and hopefully, you know, help people who are currently unemployed find a pathway to a career that could change their lives.
What kind of skills are people looking for right now in Southwest Florida? Employers. Where are they telling you that they are seeing a lack of skills and certifications in people? Is it mainly in healthcare?
No, in fact, in a lot of instances, it's in places that you might not think. Business administration skills, which run the gamut, accounting. We have courses that are closing at some of these technical colleges where people could earn, a first credential towards a career to help in any number of industries, just on that business administration side. But people aren't aware of the fact that there are opportunities like that, or maybe they're not receiving information about some of these programs, and some of the programs are closing. So we're trying to figure out how to help the system work in a way to let people know what kinds of jobs are available in Southwest Florida and where they can get the training to get those, to get the skills needed to fill those jobs. The other thing that, and this is, something that Workforce Now identified, are foundational or soft skills. Employers have identified a significant deficit in soft skills across the board in terms of the workforce.
What's a soft skill?
So these are like communication, critical thinking,
dress,
teamwork, these skills that are required to be successful in the workplace, in a variety of workplaces. And so we're working closely with a couple of groups within the Future Makers Coalition to try to find a way to offer some training in those soft or foundational skill areas where our local employers have identified barriers to being able to hire from the local workforce.
So, Dr. Wesley, tell me a little bit more about soft skills. These are kind of things like how you present yourself in a professional manner, things like that.
Little things like how to address somebody, how to sit down with a meal, how to communicate one-on-one, to represent yourself well.
Kind of like social skills?
These are social skills, but the important thing about these skills is these are usually skills that you learn on the job anyway. So, I mean, I sometimes wonder if this has become more of a problem as it seems like teenagers today aren't working as much. They're volunteering more, but they're not working in the market as much as they have in the past. So I'm wondering if some of these soft skills aren't learned.
Younger.
Yeah, the younger as they were in the past.
Yeah, I know. As soon as I was 15 and a half, I wanted to get a job.
Yeah.
But kids aren't doing that these days?
Well, there's a lot of factors. I mean, it's interesting how we increase the minimum wage. It often prices them out of the market. And then instead of them sitting around not working, now we require volunteer hours everywhere. And I think it would be better time spent in on a job somewhere earning money and learning those skills.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting that that's something that's just kind of a learned thing. I mean, you can't really kind of go to school for that, I don't think.
A lot of what you learn, I tell this to my students, a lot of what you learn is going to be once you start working on the job.
Yeah.
The skills you learn and the people you meet. And
yeah, about everything I learned about journalism I learned after I graduated college, pretty much. You mentioned earlier a little bit about the employment gap positions. What is that? The data shows more than 4,700 employment gap positions. What does that mean?
That just means that of the survey employers, the number of jobs that are available exceeds the number of workers that are available to work those jobs.
So there are 4,700 jobs out there that there's nobody for.
In Southwest Florida, as of the time we did this study, we collected the data this past summer.
Uh-huh. So this went up by 40% in the last year.
It went up, but actually if we look at the top 10, there's a tremendous amount of fluctuation. The last year's report came out, the number one supply gap was in registered nurses, and that fell down to 0.8. You also had four healthcare industries within the top 10, and now there are only two in the healthcare industries.
Well, that's interesting.
And that's interesting that one thing that makes it interesting, I think, is that it happens without any special program causing it to happen. It just might reflect the price system operating the way you'd think it would be. So if there's a shortage of registered nurses, if nurse wages increase, that's going to attract more people to come down to this region to provide their labor. And maybe we're seeing that phenomenon.
Yeah, that is interesting. We have a call coming in from Stephen in Fort Myers. Stephen, what would you like to say?
Hi, good afternoon. I was curious as to what the panel might think about the impact of a virtual commuter in the local economy. I'm here in Fort Myers, but I actually work for a company that's located in Illinois. And that's primarily driven behind me not being able to find a local company that can pay a wage that will support a family, though I would much prefer to actually go into an office each day.
Yeah, it's a little easier to stay focused when you're in an office, isn't it? Yeah, okay, so that's a good question. Do we have a lot of commuters, or do we have commuters maybe even that are in LaBelle that work for some place in Fort Myers? Or do you see any of that?
We're seeing a lot of people that work in Collier living in LaBelle, Lehigh, other parts of Lee County. The median home price in Lee County is about $150,000 less than it is in Collier right now. And so home prices and also the choice of housing is so much greater in Lee than it is in Collier. A lot of people are doing that right now.
Do you end up seeing, though, any virtual commuting? I mean, people working from home instead?
Well, I see that as a phenomenon nationally, and I'm really sympathetic with wanting to be able to get dressed and go to work because there's a different psychology there. But I think as a lot of the cost of employment has increased over time, this is one of the side effects of that. So a lot of the workplace regulations that make it higher on the margin to hire workers are causing firms to cut back in these other ways. So they can – it's cheaper for them to work at home. Their insurance costs are different. The capital costs for the firm have fallen because of that. And so we're seeing more and more of that.
Mm-hmm. So Teresa Lesage, there's been a growing number of voices who say that America's economy is about to see a transformation because of the growing use of automation and artificial intelligence. Do you see that being an issue in Southwest Florida? We don't have a lot of manufacturing. It's more one-on-one and some of those soft skills like you mentioned before.
Actually, I think there are some programs that are available that are in more of the, you know, higher-end technology areas that are available. And I think that as those opportunities become more at the forefront, hopefully people will start to take note of them. I'm actually here with a representative from Fort Myers Technical College, and he was talking to me about some of their robotics and their technology programs. And so I think we are positioned in some of these higher education and technical college entities are positioned to respond as the market changes. And that's one of the things we're trying to do with the Future Makers Coalition is use employers and the demands as they change to help drive programs and opportunities within the education system so that we're sure that we're keeping up or that we're more prepared for the demands as they change. And technical colleges are a great place to do that. It's not the same, but Hodges and Gartner recently partnered. Both are Future Makers partners as well, but they partnered to create a sales bachelor's degree in response to Gartner's growing
number. I'm sorry to cut you off. I have to cut you off, but we are running out of time, so we're going to have to leave it there, but it's an interesting conversation. I want to thank Tessa Lesage with Future Makers Coalition and Dr. Christopher Wesley with FGCU. Our show today was produced by Matthew Smith and directed by Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.